Welcome to the Wonderful World Podcast. This is David Hudson. I'm glad you are here today, and I'm glad you are listening in. I am looking forward to this episode, and I'm glad that you get to meet somebody today who is my favorite person in the world. And so we're looking forward to it. We're going to talk about a very serious subject today, and so I really want you to be engaged in this. And you will hear some good perspective from that. So I'm not going to waste a lot of time without introducing my guest. And my guest, as I said, is my favorite person in the world, and it is my wife, Susan. Susan and I are just celebrated this week, 26 years of marriage, and the best 26 years of my life. And so I'm glad that she is here. So Susan, hey, just, you know, the first episode I told who I was and what I did. You'd introduce yourself. Just tell everybody who you are.
Okay. Well, as you said, I'm your wife. And I have loved doing life with you. We've done a lot of life together. So who I am, I'm David's wife. I'm the mother to our four amazing children. And work here in the ministry with you. Done a lot of different things in life, but my greatest calling is to be your wife and my children's mother. So that is who I am in a small nutshell.
Well, very cool. So today's episode is going to be about race. We're going to talk about the fact that we see color, and we all see color. So Wonderful World, the song, starts off, I see trees of green and red roses. It talks about blue skies and white clouds. And so the truth is we see color. And the reason I asked Susan to join me for this thing, because she comes from a little bit of an interesting perspective, how she was reared, how she was raised. Both of us were reared and raised in large cities. We now live in a smaller city. And so we probably, we have different race, but it's a little different than when you live in a more ethnically diverse place. But Susan, share with us a little bit of your background so they'll understand why race matters to you, why that's something that's, you know, been some part of your life.
Sure. Well, yes, I have an ethnically diverse background. My mother is, you would call her your white American, and my dad is Hispanic Peruvian, to be exact. I won't go into the whole story, but my mom was actually raised on the mission field of Peru. And she married my dad. Both were young when they got married. I was born, and we moved to the United States when I was 9 months old. So I'm an immigrant, which is interesting to think about. So there are so many issues in our culture and in our world, and yes, in the church as well, that when it comes to diversity, and yes, we even use that word racism, I have a perspective on because of my background. I did grow up in Houston. Houston is an amazing city, big city, a huge Hispanic population, obviously in Texas, but also very ethnically diverse when it comes to other minorities. People from all over the world live there. And I know with you living in Atlanta, you understand yeah. kind of the same thing. A little different, I think, in Georgia than it is in Texas. But
yeah, and I think you and I have talked about before, I grew up predominantly black, white. I mm-hmm. mean, you know, and you grew up black, white, Hispanic.
Yeah, right.
And so I'd really never engaged with too many people Hispanic. As a matter of fact, I think the guy that taught Spanish at the school that my father was a principal at, I think he was actually Filipino, if I remember right, which I know they speak mm-hmm. Spanish. But so he was really the only person that spoke Spanish. And I guess technically he's not even Hispanic. He and so that was the only engagement. So very different. So let me tell you why we're talking about race and why we're going to talk about this from a Wonderful World perspective and definitely from the Christian perspective. So I've told you before that we were in Brunswick, Georgia, and our town hit the news. Mm-hmm. And it hit the news not just locally, but I mean nationally, internationally. Mm-hmm. It has been in the news, and it's been in the news for the unfortunate killing of a young man named Ahmaud Arbery. Mm-hmm. Ahmaud was walking down a street, and we won't get into all the details because this isn't about the case. This is more about talking about bringing race to light and how there's injustices and how there are so many things that are happening. But Ahmaud was tragically killed and senselessly killed, and He was African American. He was a black young man, I believe, 25, and he just 26th birthday was just passed like a week or so ago.
Yeah.
And he was killed by two white men. And of course, with everything that has gone on in our nation with the killing of young black men, whether it be by police or by private citizens, you know, the Trayvon Martin case, and there's so many others. So that is really blown. And then, of course, a video surfaced a few weeks ago that just made it really blow up. We had heard about the case. We had actually posted about the case, but didn't know a lot of details. Mm-hmm. But that video just kind of put it over the top. And immediately, race comes to important. Now, I will say I'm very grateful for our community. For the most part, our community is really unified and really united around one another, and that's been good to see. Mm-hmm. It's been good to see a lot of people within the church say, hey, there is a race factor, but there is a human factor to this that we need to understand. And so to see people come together in a lot of different ways. And so that's the reason we wanted to have this discussion today, and I really wanted Susan's perspective because we want a wonderful world. I know Susan does as well, and that is our desire. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, that should be our desire on earth as it is in heaven. But we also need to understand that there are some very real forces that we have to contend with and deal with. And so that's what we're talking about now and trying to deal with today. And so we're going to talk about one of our favorite people, mine and Susan's together, Tony Evans. Tony Evans, if you don't know who he is, you got to get out more. I mean, Tony Evans is somebody that has really defined so much of our culture. Susan and I both have heroes in the faith, people we look up to that are on every side, white, black. I was thinking about that today. I was thinking about David Wilkerson for me, but in the city streets of New York. I mean, he went to blacks, Hispanics, and multicultural, Jim Cimbala, who's in New York. But then at the same time, we have Tony Evans, Francis Chan, Ravi Zacharias, you know, Christine Kane from Australia, and then Beth Moore, Priscilla Shearer. So you're, we're talking white, black, all across any type of different group, and how they've affected our life. And so that's what we really want to kind of dive into. So, Susan, here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to tell me, we're going to get into something shared by Tony Evans in just a second, but and it'll probably talk about some of the things, but I know I asked you to share with me two things. Practically, how do we deal with race? And then theologically, how do we deal with race? You can take those however you want to, and just as a discussion, just like we were having one at home. If you've never been around the Hudson table, there's a lot of interesting discussions, especially now that our children are older. And I will say there's been disagreements, but there's been a lot of unity and agreement too. And so just how do we practically, theologically handle this thing of race when it comes to, you know, those factors? And how have you personally been impacted? And we'll probably get into the personal impact in a minute.
You know, that it's really important. You said something a second ago about disagreements. God is a God of variety. He did not make us cookie cutter people. And I know you've used this quote often, and it comes from Tony Evans, that God did not want us to be all the same. He's not looking for sameness. He's looking for oneness.
Yeah.
And so we all come from different life experiences, and that shapes the way we see the world. That shapes our worldview. That shapes how we respond to others. And so we are going to have disagreements because we're different people. And I think the key is that we learn to disagree agreeably, that we learn to respect each other and hear each other's hearts. I think that's been the biggest thing for me, just understanding that I need to hear someone else's perspective and listen to them respectfully and hear their hearts. So practically, you say, practical. I'm trying to answer this, you know, the way you said, out for us. You know, let's just take our everyday life. And David, I was thinking about this because I love that song, What a Wonderful World. you and I have enjoyed so much, our whole family's enjoyed so much watching the different birds in our backyard lately. We put out a bird feeder and all these birds are coming and they're just beautiful to look at. And they're
the squirrels are coming too.
The squirrels are coming too. But all different types of birds, you know, that I don't think we've ever really just stopped and noticed before. The different colors, you know, the painted buntings and the cardinals and the eastern towhee, which we knew nothing about until all of a sudden they showed up in our backyard.
Yeah, we don't even know if we're saying that right. Yeah. So if you're a bird person.
But they're all different colors and they're just so beautiful to look at. And variety. You know, what if all the birds in the world looked exactly the same? Wouldn't be, you know, no.
Yeah.
And so God created us different, and he created us with different complexions and different ethnicities and different backgrounds. And we are called to oneness, not sameness.
Yeah.
So practically speaking, it's so important to get to know each other. I think one of the difficult things about what we're in right now in this pandemic, it keeps us isolated to such a degree. And I think everyone in our heart is calling out for, hey, we want to come together. We want to get, we long for connection with people. And how important it is for us to be connected, not just to people who are just like us, but to be connected to people who are different than us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you and I have just, you know, it's funny because we grew up with kind of a different perspective on race. Mm-hmm. And I guess because I come at it from, and Tony Evans talks about this, I come at things from kind of a white perspective. And sometimes we say, as a matter of fact, I'm looking here, you know, he says that sometimes we say, that's the way I grew up. And, you know, that's all I know. He said, well, you grew up wrong. You were taught wrong growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And just know that sometimes your perspective isn't always the right perspective. And practically speaking, maybe you just need to look at things from other people's point of view. And I think that's the key.
You know, when you say that, talking about my background, so my father is Hispanic. My mama is, like I said, white, but she grew up in South America. So although her complexion is white, she would probably tell you she grew up with a Peruvian, a South American understanding and life experience that's different from your average white person. You're also talking about perspective as far as how we were raised. I have to say that on the white side of my family, I call them that, I hate to even use that expression, but the Anglo-American side of my family, you know, you go back a couple of generations, and I actually have, you know, great-grandparents that believed that people of color had no souls.
Hmm.
They did not have souls. That, you know, they looked at, when my great-grandfather would see a black person, he would say, well, they don't have souls. And that excused the discrimination, that excused the prejudice. And whenever my mother, who, like I said, was raised on the mission field, that's a whole other story, but when she married my father, that wasn't accepted very well within the family because of the way the white part of the family viewed people of different colors.
Yeah.
So it hits close to home when you start talking about these things. And our perspective, it really is taught to us.
Oh, yeah.
It's taught to us. You learn what you think about other people from how your parents raised you, or not even just, you know, sometimes it's not even how your parents raised you. Sometimes it's just in your culture that you're brought up in. You know, from a child, you hear racial slurs, or you hear, not even racial slurs, because, you know, nowadays we all know it's bad to say those words, but it can also be in the way we talk about other people, the way we describe them. That'll shape your perspective.
Yeah, and I think it's funny because I never noticed it. I have to be honest. I guess I grew up in the all-white world predominantly, and I never thought about those kind of things. And so suddenly, I remember being told one time, I don't know if you should marry her. You know, she's Hispanic. You are different races. And
right.
I'm like, what? I mean, that did it. Never even thought about it. And now that our children, as they've grown up, I mean, they've been asked if they're Asian. They've been asked if they're and really, we laugh because we like our kids are white kids, but I guess they're not. You know, and so they, I mean, people come up and just start speaking to them in Spanish. Our one son, everybody thinks he's Asian. He was the little Chinese kid on the baseball team years ago.
He was so confused about that. Why they were calling him the Chinese kid when he's like, I remember, you know, you were there when it happened, and he just looks at them like, what are you talking about? And he literally said to them, hey, I'm not Chinese, I'm American, you know. And we laugh about it, but perspective.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that really started hitting me, and I started seeing things. And I remember going with you when you got your citizenship, and being in that room with all those different people.
Right.
And to go to the theological side for a minute, there's some false teaching theologically that teach the descendants of Noah, because the curse of Ham, he was cursed. Ham was cursed, and so all the black descendants came from Ham, and and that's where the teaching came. Mm-hmm. Though they've been moved away, they don't have souls, and it's just a false teaching.
Absolutely,
but it's perpetuated, and we've even watched people in the modern day still teaching that same thing. It's been perpetuated by people, and so I will say to some people, perhaps you have a wrong perspective. And you were taught that, and so nobody's beating you up for that, but we're saying it's still wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to get to this Tony Evans article. I'll totally forget. There was one part, I'm going to find it real quick. He said, sometimes we're operating on illegitimate standards that are not rooted in God, but rooted in culture, rooted in history and background. And all of that may be facts, but the question we must ask, is it the truth? Because once you were how you were raised disagrees with what God says, how you were raised was wrong. So he's not saying it's wrong from a cultural perspective. He's saying it's wrong from a biblical perspective. And that, you know, you say, well, that's just what, but that's still not an excuse. And you have to come back to truth. God has a kingdom, he says, made up of citizens, some black, some white, some red, some yellow, Spanish backgrounds. His intention was never that the individual uniqueness would cause him to lose sight of the flag flying over them, which is the flag of the cross. So I guess growing up, to prove you weren't a racist, and everybody has heard this, you would say, I have one of my best friends is black. Mm-hmm. People would say stuff like that. When you were growing up and hearing and watching that in that perspective, and establishing friendships, and then going on as adults, because I know both you and I both have friendships of multicultural and multi different races of people. How does this make you feel whenever you're dealing with your friends and people, and you see them hurting and see them going through these kind of things?
You know, that's the key. And I want to say, I'm so thankful that for both you and I, we've had opportunity to get to know people outside of our norm. You and I, our life has been the church. Our life has been the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about the churches as a whole. You know, we were both raised in church. That's all we've really ever known. And for the most part, it's the white evangelical church. I'm so thankful that for you and I both, we've been able to get outside of our norm and form very close friendships with people who are African-American as well as other ethnicities, but specifically African-American in our community. And as we've gotten to know them, as we've watched them do life, as we've done life together, we have differences, we have different outlooks, but our friendship is formed on the fact that, hey, we can respect each other. I can empathize with you when I start to see, like you said just a minute ago, your hurts. And it's so important to listen to someone's heart, listen to their background, listen to their history. What makes them feel the way they feel? I think we're so quick sometimes just to cast judgment on people. And, you know, our perspective may cause us to be aggravated with them or dismissive of what they're feeling. And as Christ followers, we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, if we would just live by that, that would really cancel out so much prejudice, so much divisiveness and racism. Because you can't truly be racist towards someone you are loving just as you love yourself.
Yeah, and I've shared this, I know, with you and many others, but I remember years ago when the Black Lives Matter, when that really grew because of a lot of the different things that were happening. And I wrote an article back then, but I based it on from a sermon that I'd heard by pastor in Houston, Pastor Terry Anderson, a black pastor. And he spoke on the subject of Black Lives Matter. And he said, listen, I know that some of you are saying, wait a minute, all lives matter. And you're right. All lives do matter. He said, but I want you to think about this for a second. Imagine that you broke a bone in your leg. Mm-hmm. And I asked you, do all your bones matter? You would say absolutely, yes, all my bones matter. But right now, the bone that is hurting is the one that needs attention. So I would say that bone matters more than the others. And I remember hearing that and just going, wow, that's really good. Because that helped me to kind of grasp, okay, wait a minute, we got a segment of our society, We got a group of people that are hurting, and they're not saying, for the most part, they're not saying that all lives don't matter. They're saying there's pain right here, mm-hmm. and this needs attention,
right.
and so this matters. And so it became something that really shaped my perspective mm-hmm. and helped me understand that, and helped me get it from not just a sociological point of view, but also a very Christian point of view. I'm to love my brother just as Christ loved the church. So who's hurting, and how can I care for them in that perspective? I want you to share. I know that you've you kind of delved into something here a while back with Tony Evans, and share that just real quick about that.
It's interesting. I listen to videos and messages all the time, and right before all this came out here in our community, I had listened to a message by Tony Evans. It was actually an interview. He and Kirk Franklin were being interviewed on TBN by two white evangelical pastors, and they wanted to hear the heart of Dr. Evans and Kirk Franklin. And Tony Evans, he's brilliant, and he speaks so well to whatever you put in front of him. But one thing he said just leaped off the page to me, off YouTube to me, I should say. And he said, God will not jump over the church to change the culture. Mm-hmm. He will not skip the church to change the culture. And he was talking about these issues of race, and he was talking about what he himself had experienced in his life and the importance of the church being at the forefront. And, you know, the gospel changes lives. We know that. It's funny because my children come home and they tell me things that, you know, that's going on in this world, and we'd have deep discussions. And I'll just look at them and I'll say, hey, Jesus can change this. And I'll tell them, I don't mean this in a simplistic way. I mean this very sincerely, because the only thing that changes a heart, it's not a law. Laws don't change hearts. Yeah, they can bring justice, but the only thing that changes a heart is Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we as the church, we've got to proclaim the gospel, but we've also got to speak out against injustice. Part of what Tony Evans said in that same message was God is, and he was reading from Psalms, and he said, God is righteousness and justice flow from his throne. And he said, God is a God of righteousness. Our morality is so important, and we preach that and we teach that in the church, absolutely. But so is justice, because that's where equity comes from. And God desires us as his people to speak out for the oppressed, speak out against injustice. When we know something is wrong, we have to speak up. You know, you and I've taught our kids silence is approval. If you know something's going on and you don't speak up about it, hey, you're approving of that thing. And that's sin. God says that to him who knows to do right and doesn't do it, it's sin. So, you know, you were talking about the theological or the spiritual aspect of it. You know, my heart has been so grieved and so burdened for the Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, my heart breaks for, you know, the world as a whole, but God's people need to have a burden in their hearts to speak out for injustice and to love the neighbor as themselves. And you know what? To also repent.
Yeah.
To have a spirit of repentance, you know, because we have stayed silent when we should have spoken up. And not only that, let's be honest, there's still a lot of prejudice within the people of God that needs to be addressed, confronted, and forsaken.
Yeah, and I think working with young people come at this from a completely different perspective, because they're in school and everywhere that they are, I mean, this isn't an issue with them. I know our children are kind of like, wow, this is really weird that's an issue, but it's obviously still in our culture. And so talking about repentance, we're going to get very real for a few minutes and wrap this up in about 5-10 minutes. But I'm gonna tell. This is gonna be honest, because the one thing that I learned about Susan real quick is that after we got married, that she doesn't tolerate that kind of race language or anything like that. So I grew up. My family's all from South Alabama. Grew up in Atlanta, and we have been married not even a year. And I don't know if you remember this. I remember it like it was yesterday. A lady cut me off in traffic. Mm. And I was, and it was, you know, it was just Atlanta. And we're driving down the road, and she cut me off. And when she cut me off, I let a racial slur fly out of my mouth. Mm. And you were horrified. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, yeah.
And you were horrified, and I thought, honestly, that I had just done the worst thing ever in the world, which I guess really I had. and I said, what? We used to use that word all the time. Mm-hmm. And you're like, mm-mm. But it's not right.
Right.
And I remember just that day, it was like all of a sudden I was confronted with something. And I think I wanted to say, we've always used that word. And you didn't stand for it. And I remember looking back going, wait a minute, can I really be a follower of Christ and have this opinion of someone? Because if she would have done something nice for me, I would not have called her the racial slur. Mm-hmm. But because she did something that offended me, mm-hmm. I immediately went to the racial slur. And you're right. It was repentance had to come in my life. Wait a minute. How am I seeing people? Mm-hmm. And how am I seeing them? You know, when Jesus confronted the Samaritan woman, which Tony Evans talks about, mm-hmm. she immediately said, you're a Jew. And she said, you and your people, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, good grief. Now he never identified himself as a Jew, but obviously he looked, dressed, mm-hmm. had an accent like a Jew, everything that was Jewish. But as Tony says, Jesus didn't stop being who he was to reach somebody else. Mm-hmm. He was still who he was, but he was going to reach people, you know, and that just really helped shape so much for me. You know, because Tony talks about, we call people a black Christian, a white Christian, a Hispanic Christian, mm-hmm. an Asian Christian. And he said, we got the adjective wrong, you know, and because any, and I'll never, it's beautifully say it is too, because he can say adjectival just the way he says it. But he says what we tend to start focusing there in is we're missing, we're describing, because that thing is always building. So if I say I'm a white Christian, I'm emphasizing the kind of Christian I am. Mm-hmm. And that white is blurring everything else. But if it's, I say I'm Christian, it doesn't matter all the other stuff. And so, you know, as we kind of wind down and kind of talk through this, tell me why. So two things. Tell me this. Tell me why the racial slurs did bother you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know some of the answer, but from our talks, but tell people why the racial slurs did bother you. But also tell me, how can we redeem what's going on in our culture and even in our city right now? How can we redeem this for good?
Mm. Well, first of all, yes, you're right. Racial slurs have always bothered me. And once again, that does go back to my upbringing. I've heard the racial slurs. I'm not talking about the black necessarily. I'm talking about Hispanics. I grew up around Hispanic. Like I said, I grew up in a culture where there was half Hispanic and half white. And, you know, when you are different, when you're the minority, you feel I just use the word prejudice. You feel it. You sense it. Sometimes it's not even spoken, but you feel in the way you're looked at. You feel in the way you're not spoken to. Sometimes they just don't speak to you. You know, I think of my own father driving back from our house to Houston, got pulled over for speeding. Imagine that. If you know my dad, that's like, yeah.
And if you know my wife.
So he's speeding, gets pulled over, but then the police make him not just get out of the car, but literally they took everything. He had to take all of his luggage out. They searched his car from top to bottom.
And he was traveling with your mom and like two of the girls,
and two of my
right?
sisters. Yes. Why? Because he's Hispanic and he was driving a nice car. Had you been pulled over, they wouldn't have done that to you. And, you know, a lot of white people are like, ah, that's no big deal. But it is when you're the person receiving that. I just say that to say I grew up hearing the racial slurs, seeing them, experiencing them. So, no, it's not acceptable. And I don't care who you are. I don't care. You know, my kids know. Our kids know. And, you know, our kids have always been good about it. But they know. You don't use a racial slur against Asians, Hispanics, blacks, or whites.
Right.
It's
yeah.
not acceptable in any shape or form. No, because we're all created in the image of God. And we have got to love one another as God loves us.
Yeah.
And so that's just key. You know, hey, racial slurs are not appropriate. And, you know, I've heard them. I've heard people joke about it, laugh about it. Yes, when I moved to Atlanta, I remember hearing among Christians, once again, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking among Christians. You know, they would use little comments.
We
and they would say stuff.
Yeah, you said we were white evangelical, but let's be honest. We were among white fundamentalists.
Yeah.
And which is kind of a different.
It is.
You know, it
is,
was a
right.
very stricter
it's
group.
Even right.
And that tended to allow
yeah.
more things like that, more race. I mean, which when I say predominantly white,
mm-hmm.
it was pretty much all white.
Yeah.
You know, and so that white fundamentalist mentality even exacerbated to me.
Absolutely.
That looking back on some of that perspective.
Right, right. So it's not acceptable among God's people. It just cannot be. And you know, that's where I just, you know, my heart just grieves, because I just want to say, you know, if we call ourselves Christ followers, we cannot have prejudice in our hearts.
Yeah.
Now, let me say this. Prejudice, you know, it's real. We all have them.
Right.
We prejudge people. But when we realize that that's something that's causing us to act out in a way that is unloving, unkind, discriminatory, we've got to repent of that. And the second question you asked me was about
how can we redeem. Yeah, how can we redeem this case?
Yeah.
Because it has brought some things. Before you get into that, just
go ahead.
Follow that. Pastor Tony said that when their church, more and more, as he called them, Anglos, were coming into their church.
Yeah,
They're in Dallas, and more white people started coming and said, this guy came to him. He said, hey, we can't be having this. And, you know, and Pastor Tony's like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you know how they are. And he said, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And he said, well, they have their way of doing things, and they want to take over and all that. And he said, and I love Pastor Tony, he said, well, you better keep winning blacks to Jesus so we can outnumber them, you know. And, and he was telling him, you know, the guy said, I don't know if I can stay here. And Pastor Tony said, well, then you can't. I mean, because this isn't about that. So it works both ways, but we especially see it in one perspective. And I think that's why we're trying to just deal with this from a level. So how can we redeem the situation with, like, the Arbery case? Because it has brought up some painful things.
Yeah.
But I think it's also brought some good things to light, that maybe we can make things, you know, we can work together in that.
Mm-hmm. We can buy back what the enemy means for evil. The enemy is all about division. He's all about hatred. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And he works, and he wants to do that within the church. And so we as the church have the opportunity to reach out to people who are different than we are and love them. And actually start seeing, you know, we're really not so different. What makes us different is so small compared to what makes us the same.
Yeah.
Because we all have the same goals for our children. We all want the same things in life. If we truly love Jesus, we all have the same heart. We should. And so we can redeem that by purposefully just reaching out. What can you do just to show your kindness, just to show your love, just to show your support? You know, you don't even, like I said, you don't even necessarily have to agree. We don't have to agree 100% with. There's nobody, even you, who I love and been married to for 26 years. We don't agree on everything, you know.
You are wrong sometimes.
You're right. I am sometimes, but no, we don't have to agree on everything. But we can respect each other, and we can stand up for each other, and we can love each other unconditionally. And I think that's where the church can redeem what's been what Satan is using for evil.
That's good. Hey, we'll put the link for the video she was talking about from Pastor Tony and Kirk Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put that in the description for the show, and that way you can go on your own time and watch that and kind of get that perspective. And maybe you're like, hey, I've already passed it on to somebody, be helpful and be enlightening. So I think that is really a powerful tool. So I am really thankful that Susan has, thank you for coming on here today.
Sure.
And thank you for,
thanks for inviting me.
You are absolutely beautiful, but you're a lot smarter. And there's going to be people that are going to listen to this and like, why in the world did she ever marry him?
Oh,
and
it was for your money.
No, you was my car.
It was
your
money and your car.
I had a Ford Festiva. What was it, 89?
Yeah.
I had an 89 Ford Festiva with no air conditioning.
Yeah.
It did have a tape
but
deck.
But it had a tape deck.
Yes, we had tape
that
deck.
That was cool.
And
no air conditioning, right.
And it was a little four speed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you learned how to drive a stick shift off that thing.
I did, yeah.
And so that's what she married me for. So if you're ever wondering how in the world did he get her, that's where it comes from. So, but that's just, you know, thank you for listening today. Thank you for just taking the time, because we just really want to, we really do want to make a wonderful world.
Mm-hmm.
And we really want to see God do that. And he's going to do that through us. He's given us the responsibility of seeing him do those things. And so we want to make things better. So Thanks for joining us today. Hey, share this with somebody and go love somebody. We do see color. We see the color of the sky. We see the color of the trees. We see the color of people. But we're going to love them just like they are. So thank you for joining us for What a Wonderful World podcast. Hey, have a great day. God bless.